Well, right now we're going through, we're just picking things off on the calendar, so to speak, at this point. You know, we're finishing up our scheme evaluation and getting ready for the players to get in. The coaches are chomping at the bit a little bit to get these players in here. We're doing some renovations downstairs in the weight room, making some changes there, so that part's exciting. But, you know, just going through the calendar like you do every year, just on a larger scale.
What changes are you making in the weight room? And was that done for a specific reason? Or?
We wanted to be a little more forward-thinking down there. Hired Aaron Wellman. There's a guy, he and I go back a ways. And, you know, open it up a little bit down there. Do a little bit more movement-based. A little more stick and move, so to speak, like you play the game. It's going to reflect the way we practice as well with that mentality. We want to hit the ground running. When we step into the weight room, when we step onto the field, treat it all the same that way.
A little
more tempo to everything we do.
Was that in response to all the injuries?
When you look at injuries, I don't think you can look at one area and just point your finger at one area. I think it's something that we're going to take a look at a variety of areas, whether it's the way we practice, it's how we practice, it's the intensities and the loads that we use there, the duration of practices. Again, take a look at the weight room as well. Nutrition will play a factor. Sleep is huge and probably the best tool for recovery. So we're going to take a look at everything, scheduling, everything, and everything's a factor.
How important was it for you to make changes to the sort of routine or culture?
You know, when I got hired, we spoke about evolution, not revolution, and we've made some changes recently. If it's working and we've had success with it, I don't think you need to kick it to the curb. But we do need to tweak some things and make some adjustments, and we'll do that.
What are those changes?
You know, first things first, in the season, you know, we're going to give players Monday off, and we'll bring guys in on Tuesday to keep things a little more consistent that way, to give them an opportunity to get their rest, because the NFL schedule now on Sundays, you play a variety of different times. We're on the East Coast. We're not centrally located, so flying, you know, in and out, you get back at, you know, different times on Sundays if you do have a Sunday game, a later game on Sunday. So we'll take a look at that. We'll vary the times that we're on the field as far as our end time will always be the same. What time we hit the field will be a reflection of the load of that day or the workload that we're going to have that day. Just things like that.
These decisions are obviously thoroughly considered. I mean, is this stuff that you had in your head, this is how I would do it differently, or is it... And who helps you with that? Where does that?
Oh, it's something I've been putting together since probably 2008, 2009, thinking about it each year, talking to different coaches, different players, people in the industry, and you just start to catalog things. And when you get a chance to get your hands on an opportunity, you want to attack it. You know, you don't want to take the job. You don't want to take this opportunity not to lose it. You want to take it and attack it. That's what puts you. Put you in the chair, and that's how we're going to go about it.
How big is the smile on Spax's face this last couple of weeks?
I think there's a great buzz in the building. You know, you have to credit Jerry for the vision. The support of the ownership was huge. The Mara family, the Tisch family, for their support. Kevin Abrams, you know, was grinding out the contracts. He did a great job. And then the coaches for the evaluations, you know, and going through and recruiting these guys up and letting them know how they fit in. And, you know, it was a great couple days for us.
You called Olivier right before he made his decision. Do you remember that conversation?
Yes.
What you said to him?
Yeah, we had felt like we were recruiting in college again. You know, we had everybody in the room passing the phone around letting them know what we think of him. And, you know, for me, it was simple. Going into the game on Monday night when we played him and we came down here to play, he was one of the most disruptive players I've seen on film last year. And we wanted him to be a part of it. That's, you know, QB rating differential is big in the game today. And the more you can impact the quarterback, from a defensive standpoint, from that defensive end standpoint, from his blind side, the more you can impact that quarterback, the tougher it makes it on the opponent. And we feel that he's going to make a big impact for us, obviously.
When did you pinpoint him as the target? I mean, it was obviously you guys made him a priority and you were going to try and fill that. But you had two open
I can't recall the day I evaluated tape on him, but we knew going into free agency that he was a guy that really fairly early in the process. He jumped off the film right away. Yeah.
I know you weren't with the team at the time, but what was the front office's impression of Jenkins coming in, out in the draft, and obviously there was some red flags with him. Were those discussed?
Jack Rabbit, as he likes to be referred to, and I don't mind calling him that. He he's a guy that had some issues coming out. But he got an opportunity, and he took advantage of his opportunity. And it just shows you give a guy a second chance, and he has an opportunity to take advantage of it. And he's done that, and you have to give him credit for that.
Spags is able to do a little bit more of what he wants with some of the tools, too. How do you see maybe the offense and defense complementing him a little bit better? What changes do you want to make?
Well, offensively, we want as many plays as we can, and we want to control the ball, but we want to do that attacking. We don't want to control the ball and be on our heels. And the way the defense plays, we want the defense off the field. We want the offense on the field as much as possible, and we want to keep the defense off the field as much as possible. When you have a chance to add a guy like Damon up front on first and second down, it makes your third down better. Because of what he brings to the run game. And having OV out there rushing and Jack Rabbit out there covering just gives you two more pieces to get off the field on third down. And it gives you some nice adjustment on third down. It helps you. It also helps you at the end of games in 2 minutes.
Where do you stand at the middle linebacker spot?
It's like a lot of positions right now. We're still going. We have the draft we're getting ready for, and free agency. You look at things as a whole, not just who's on your roster, but who's available throughout the rest of the league, and we'll attack it that way. So everything's fluid at this point.
Keenan Robinson is a guy that you look at. This guy who will play middle linebacker for you guys. So that's the position you sort of saw him at.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a guy. He was nicked up last year, so we look forward to getting him in, getting him healthy. And giving them an opportunity to go out and compete for the job.
Where do things stand at the safety position?
We have some young guys that, again, we got to get healthy. We have some young guys that we have to get healthy. We have to get out there and give them an opportunity to compete. And then let that shake out. Again, we're still looking through some things from a free agency perspective. Just because you don't make a splash early doesn't mean you can't find a piece later on. And in the draft as well, there's some nice players in the draft.
You look at Burhey. Is that, that list of young guys that you mentioned, who are the guys that you look at that could handle that free safety role?
Yeah, Burhey's definitely one of them. Jackson's one of them. There are a lot of guys that could factor in there, and we're going to get them healthy and get them out there, Thompson, and let them compete for it.
Where are they physically? Will they be able to go? I know you're not on the field April 11th, but they'll be part of the spring process?
Yeah, we need to get them in and take a look at them before the spring goes. To a certain degree, they'll each be able to contribute.
Where are the guys, the rehabbing guys, as far as you know? Are any of them not going to be ready for the beginning of spring? We got Hankins, free safety.
Yeah, I need to go in. We need to wrap our brain around that. It's a little early for that right now. As far as when we get out, we get on the field. We have 2 weeks starting on the 11th of April, and then at the end, right before the draft, the week of the draft is the voluntary mini camp. So we'll know more that week.
Is there a plan for Victor at this point? I know he's actually around a decent amount.
Yeah, Victor's around a decent amount. And, what we need to do with Victor is we need to be smart. And, I think his knee feels pretty good. And he's just rehabbing the calf, and when he's ready to go, we'll put him out there. But it's a little early to tell right now.
How's the dynamic in the building with Tom still around a few days a week?
It's great.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's great. Tom's a phenomenal resource and was a mentor of mine, and anytime that I can use him, I'm going to use him.
How often is that? How often have you found that to be so far?
You mean the scheduling opportunities to talk and visit with Tom?
Yeah.
Whenever the opportunity arises. Yeah, you could say that.
Or
a couple times a week, yeah.
Do you worry that once the season gets there, once the players get there, there's going to be sort of, you know, two head coaches in the building?
No, I don't have those concerns.
Do you expect that he'll continue to be around? Or is it an off-season?
No, like I said, as long as Tom's around, we're going to welcome him and use him as a resource. And, welcome him.
Hey, Ben, as you look at the process that quarterbacks are going through before the draft here, and guys who end up going, throwing at the combine, throwing at their pro day, going to a bunch of different private workouts, have you, in your experience, seen guys get thrown out when they come in and they got an abnormal amount of wear and tear on their arms, February, March, or April?
That has not been my experience. I think you have to be cautious of other positions and the type of training that they're doing, because they're in shape to run 40s. And do other types of drills, cone drills, and those types of things. And I think we have to be smart with them in rookie orientation and rookie camp on what we ask them to do, and make sure we slowly get them back into football shape instead of testing shape. But I haven't seen any issue as far as the quarterbacks and their arms. I think from what I've seen, they're fairly smart and the way they approach things, the way they warm up, and the way they put exercises into their arm. Each week, it's not just how they warm up, it's the exercises and the type of work they do each and every day that gets them ready to throw.
Where you grew up in Western PA, how does that shape you?
Well,
how much of that sticks with you?
Yeah, I'm blue collar by birthright, I guess you could say. and I'm a teacher by trade, and growing up in southwestern Pennsylvania probably impacts a lot of things that I do, a lot of things that I say, my mannerisms, my work ethic, and pride. You know, a lot, southwestern Pennsylvania, take a lot of pride in giving an honest day's work, and you take pride in your work ethic.
Are there any similarities between the family ownership you have now and maybe what you would have grown up with the roommates? I mean, obviously not firsthand.
Yeah, I mean, I had a chance to work at Pitt as a graduate assistant in 2003, and we were across the across the hallway from the Steelers, so that was it was encouraging to see. Obviously a great ownership, a great organization, and the way the Giants are operated is very similar. High integrity, the IBM, the General Electric of professional sports, and also having an opportunity to work with the Packers.
Take us through sort of your involvement and working with Jerry, and it's obviously probably a dynamic. You never worked with him personally as much maybe as you are now, devising the plan and free agency and how that came to be and what you guys sort of put into it and how you got there.
Yeah. Well, Jerry and I were tied together at the hip, and that's how I want it. It's been a great experience so far. We haven't played a game yet. With that being said, but to me the most important thing, just lines of communication. That's where every successful relationship, happens. You have to go through some things together, some good times, some bad times. But at the end of the day, you have to have those lines of communication. You can't always be on output. You have to be on input at times. And the chemistry will develop over time. It doesn't happen overnight, but it starts with communication.
In terms of the process of evaluating and mm-hmm. pursuing the free agents, I mean, what's your role? Where do you arrive in that process? I mean, is there a meeting where you set your targets? Do they run names by you? Like, how does it work?
Well, obviously the position coaches are heavily involved. You want their input first and foremost, because they really have a chance to study them. As a head coach, I take names from position coaches who are looking, from the pro personnel side, from the college side, and I start to buzz through the films of those guys, maybe put a little more time into some than others, some positions than other positions. Some players you spend a little more time than other players, and then everyone has an opportunity to present their findings. And from there, you know, it's up to, you know, the business side of things to take over and see what fits and see what works and what's best for the organization. And like I said, I don't want to pick the players, but I want to have lines of communication open, and everyone wants to have a voice, and you want to be able to put the work in and to have that voice.
With those three, you know, the three big guys you got, JPP, make it four, were those guys sort of above everybody else, or was it just sort of a plan and you sort of feel it out and see how it went along?
Those are guys we identified as, you know, being young free agents who were healthy, who could come in and make an impact for us immediately. And our type of guys, New York Giant type of guys.
The health is something that seems important to you guys. John said the same thing. Prince is a guy that, like, oh, you brought in Janoris instead. How big was the help in making?
Well, I mean, once guys get to free agency, you evaluate the whole pool. It's not letting a guy go and keeping a guy. It's once a player reaches free agency, you evaluate from the whole corner class or the whole safety class or the whole linebacker class, and you make your targets starting there.
You said I don't want to pick the players. That's, you know, not every coach comes into this thinking that. You know, a lot of guys seem to be wanting that power, wanting that decision making ability. Why don't you want to pick the players?
I think there's a lot to do, and you know, as being a young head coach, I'm comfortable enough in my own skin to know that I need to coach the team, and that's my job, and that's what I was hired to do, and that's what I need to do. Picking the players, we have a large staff that works very hard and evaluates players just like the coaches do, but that's what they do all year round, and we coach players all year round, so that's what we need to focus on as coaches.
Do you think that's a universal, you think that's the way it should be for everyone, or you
know? Oh, every organization's different, every staff's different, and to be honest with you, I'm not concerned about the way everyone else does things.
I'm just asking because we talk about Tom a lot. When Tom came into the league, he had that decision-making power, and then when he came to the Giants, he didn't, and he seemed to be a little more successful. You know, he went to the Super Bowl there. You know, is that something you learned from him, or?
It's just what I'm familiar with in this league. It seems normal to me.
Where do you stand with your offensive line in your mind? Bobby Hart is the guy that Johnson, you guys are going to be looking more from, guard, tackle, in your ideal world?
He's a young guy who's developing, and he has some position flexibility, which is nice. He's a player that likes to play football. He gets ball, so that gives him an opportunity to be flexible. He's done a lot of work on himself physically to get in good condition. And again, you like to have these guys around you right now to see what they're up to, but he's a guy that has some opportunity for growth.
Justin locked in at guard, or is he a right tackle candidate right now?
I like having Justin at left guard. I think that having that interior side of the pocket on the left side nice and firm for the quarterback, for a right-handed quarterback, is pretty important. But, you know, we're going to look at things, and if we need to make some adjustments, we can make adjustments. But you'd hate to keep moving Justin. Give him a chance to grow at one spot.
Sorry. Hi. Going through free agency, it looked like a whirlwind. Incredible activity for over 3 days period. Was it what you envisioned, or was it, you know, on Monday before free agency, or, you know, likely that we end up with this guy?
Well, we went through and we established who we liked. And there were four guys we liked, JPP being one of them. And there were some other guys we liked as well. It just so happened that they all ended up being on the defensive side of the ball. And things worked out. We ended up, you have to credit Jerry with the vision, because we went after the targets and we got a lot of what we were looking for. Kevin Abrams did a great job getting the contracts ready. And, he was working his tail off there for a while, trying to get everything done and in place, and credit to him, he got it done. and the coaches, we were all on the same page on who we identified, who we liked, and who we went after. And it just so happened to all be on the defensive side of the ball.
When you get a guy like, say, Olivier Vernon, obviously it's a competition, you get him, I'm sure there's a reaction in the room and you know, like, oh, we got this guy. Mm-hmm. How quickly does it turn from excitement to our
You know, we were excited. We knew what we were going to do with him. We're going to get him out there and get him off the edge and disrupt the quarterback. He does that well, but he's a complete player, too. A lot of attention has been given to him, OV just getting after the quarterback, but he can play the run as well. He's a good complete player. To me, there was excitement in the building and buzz in the building, but then you turn your attention to the second wave right away.
Was that a move you had to make at all costs? I mean, you entered free agency with no players at that position. Mm-hmm. You pinpointed that guy. A lot of the guys have already gone off the table. Was that a move like?
I don't know. Almost? I don't know that you would say at all costs, but it was somebody that we targeted. We felt like we had an opportunity to get, and he could make a difference for us immediately.
What do you expect to be different about Jason Pierre-Paul this year from last year?
He came in and signed, sat down across the desk from me, and I really like the look in his eye. Seems like he's motivated. He has a chip on his shoulder. He's going to have his legs underneath him. And he's going to have an offseason and a training camp under his belt. What he went through last year, and for him to come and jump in and be as disruptive as he was, says a lot about him.
How much have you discussed the situation with the surgery he had what changes and what effect that might have on his ability to play?
We'll see. As far as the hand goes, we know he's going to be a disruptive player. And, he's going to get used to playing with his hand and the condition that it is. And like I said before, I like the look in his eye. He's going to have a chip on his shoulder. And he's going to have an opportunity to train with his hand being in that condition, which will give him an opportunity to experiment and see how he can play with it and what's best to put on it.
How many sacks did he miss in your estimation that he was unable to grab and pull a guy in?
I don't have that exact number. I don't have that number in my head right now.
But if we said five or six, would you say that that's...
No, I wouldn't say. I would say he was disruptive. And he had some opportunities. I wouldn't play with a number right now.
Do you envision using him as the what he used to be, that right defensive end lined up on the left tackle, or did you sign Vernon to be that?
No, I think we have some flexibility there. I think that's a good conversation to have, and I think that's a good problem to have. And I think we'll be able to move some guys around in pass rushing situations and on first and second down. And That's a good problem to have.
Hey Ben, I know you kind of got to farm your own land when you're head coaching this league, but I thought the Chiefs were the star, and I'm just curious. As a coach, when you see the penalty that the league levied against the Tampa, just as a coach in this league, is it something that catches your attention, given the severity of it, and you have to at least pay attention to it?
As far as tampering goes, I think we need to be smart. I think it's... everything that's done on the cell phones, everything can be tracked now. So, playing within the rules, obviously, is important. I'm not sure really what happened with the Chiefs situation, and I do believe in staying in your own lane that way. But, if the Giants were right across the Hudson from the, from the league office, so we have to be we have to be smart. We have to play within the rules, and we don't. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. We don't play that game here with the Giants.
Mm-hmm. When you look at what you've done so far, and what spots you have open on your roster, what do you feel like you still need to do going forward here? You have more free agents and more draft.
It's similar to the draft. You don't just fill in holes. You have to find the right guys and the right fit. And when you find the right guys and the right fit, even if you don't have a hole, you find a spot for them. So just because we may not have a penciled in starter at one spot doesn't mean you have to go out and add a free agent in that spot. I think you need to find the right fit, or you'll regret it later.
Do you have enough wide receivers in your estimation that you can?
If we had to play tomorrow, we could play.
Are you comfortable with what you have there at this point?
Yes, I am.
When teams have a going spending sprees in free agency, sometimes there's a tendency for players who are established within the building prior to get resentful of that kind of spending on outside players. Do you deal with that? Do you anticipate it? Do you talk about it?
I think that it's motivation for players in the building. Anytime that someone has an opportunity to cash in for the way their film looks, should be encouraging for them. Every player in this league has an opportunity to put good film out there and have an opportunity to cash in on that film. And we wish them nothing but the best.
You were asked about the tampering before. You know, obviously a lot of rules going on here. What rule would you change? What do you think needs to be a new rule or a changed rule in the league?
That's an interesting question. There were a lot of things getting kicked around in the meetings yesterday. And, instant replay is obviously a hot topic. And, everybody wants the same thing with instant replay. We want to get it right, whether it's the officials, whether it's the coaches, whether it's the executives, the front office. And it'll be interesting to see how that moves forward.
What are your thoughts on the proposed automatic ejection rule for the sportsmanlike conduct penalties?
Sportsmanship is a huge part of our game, and that's the emphasis, and that's really thank you. That's the emphasis, and that is the really where the rule comes from, and I have no problem with that rule.
Does your mind go to that game against the Panthers when that discussion comes up?
No one would have been thrown out of that game.
No one would have, right.
Right.
But in terms of you talk about sportsmanship and you talk about what goes on the field.
Yeah, it's something that needs to be addressed league-wide, and certainly we are a part of it.
Should Odell have been thrown out of that game?
There are that's an interesting question. There are some things that I would have liked to have done different in that game, and I look in the mirror first, and I feel that I could have helped that situation better.
You could have pulled them off the field yourself?
Yes.
Have you had a conversation with him about that game or that issue?
Yeah, Odell and I have talked. I've seen him a few weeks ago. We sat down. We were talking about things, not football, just about life in general. And I'm excited for Odell. You know, going into his third year, he really has an opportunity to put himself in that upper tier of player. He's had some great production. And I also look forward to him growing into a leader. Feel that he can do that for our organization and for our team.
How much do you expect Adam Henry to help him? A guy he knows, probably trusts, uses as a confidant when he wasn't under him.
Yeah. Well, Adam's a good coach. He's developed a lot of good players. He's coached a lot of different positions. He started a small school and worked his way up. And he has a relationship with Odell from the past. And I believe he'll be able to get a lot out of all the players in that room, not just Odell.
Ben, when you were younger, were you aware of the coaching heritage in West NPA, and what do you think it is that so many of the coaches have come through?
Southwestern Pennsylvania, that is a good question. Work ethic, I think, is important in the coaching profession. It's a blue-collar place. Blue-collar area, whether it's the steel mills or the coal mines. A lot of people, a lot of families had to get by with getting their hands dirty. And I think you find a lot of teachers come out of that area, too. There's a lot of schools in the PSAC where I came out of, and just a lot of teachers. So when you combine, I guess, hard work, grit, integrity, the blue-collar mentality in teachers, you can probably find some pretty good coaches.
When you got connected to Mike, it wasn't through any West FPA connection, was it?
Yes, it was. It was a few, actually. It was Sal Cinceri.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jack Henry.
Jack was IUP guy, right?
Right.
Is that how you know?
And Jim Haslett, you know, to name a few. There's quite the connection.
What did you learn from Mike?
Mike has a great pulse and a great feel for the locker room. Any player, they don't ever think twice about coming up and having a conversation with the head coach. And Mike was great with that, but at the same point in time, he could establish boundaries. And he could be open and have a great one-on-one with a guy. And then the next day, if he needs to chew him out, he can chew him out, and the relationship never changed, and they appreciate that.
Are you considering any joint practices?
What I consider?
Joint practices.
Yeah, we had a great joint practices, two practices last year against Cincinnati, and they were very productive. This year we'll have to see how it goes and see if we can get those organized, but it has to be the right fit. It has to work logistically, and the preseason schedules can kind of be all over the place a little bit. So we'll have to see what the schedule looks like. It has to fit. It has to make sense, but they can be productive.
Would you host it? I mean, you went to Cincinnati last year. Did you like
getting? It's way too early.
I guess what I'm saying is, did you like getting on the road, just even away from the facility for a couple of days to break the monotony?
A change of scenery isn't a bad thing. There are benefits to having it. At home, and there are benefits to having it on the road. We all right?
Sorry. Apologies, gentlemen.
Lay that thing down.
Don't push him away.
but it was a good experience last year versus Cincinnati, absolutely.
Where do you stand at running back? How do you evaluate your depth chart there right now?
Looks a lot at this point like we left it last year.
Right.
Rashad took the bull by the horns, and that was great to see at the end of the year. Shane was a good addition. Second in the team in receiving and played about 38% of the snaps. So that part was encouraging. And then we're going to give, a lot of guys are giving up on Andre. Don't give up on Andre. Let Andre, he's going into his third year, and he'll continue to grow. No one's going to outwork him. And then Orleans is a guy who is a natural runner. He's a natural runner. He's a good special teams player for us. He's a core guy, and he's going to be in the mix as well.
You mentioned 38%. Is that what you envisioned for Vereen? Like, is that the role that you expected him to play, or was there more you felt you could have done with him last year?
I think that's about right as far as the percentage of snaps.
You stand with the right side of your offensive line at this point?
Right side of our offensive line, John Jerry's a battler now. He's going to go out there, he's going to give you what he has, and he's going to fight you. And we like John Jerry. And Marshall Newhouse was a guy that we brought in, and we brought him in for depth reasons, and he stepped up when he had his opportunity, and he played well for us. And we're glad to have Marshall back. He's a smart guy who's played a lot of football, and he has some flexibility there. He's just not a right tackle. He can play on the left side, and he can play inside as well. And at one point in time in Green Bay, he had the ball in his hand a little bit, just learning the snap. So he does have some flexibility for a veteran, which is nice to have.
That's the role you signed him for. Is that where you'd like to see him? Kind of like the sixth lineman?
Well, it just depends on how things unfold. We're gonna play the best five. So whoever they are, we need to find a way to get them on the field.
We're a half hour in, and we haven't asked you about your quarterback, which I guess says a lot about your quarterback and the situation. Last year, he talked a lot about his offseason work and some different things he did. Do you see him doing more offseason work, different kind of offseason work this year? What do you expect from him as you open up your offseason program?
Yeah, Eli puts a lot of time and effort into making sure he's prepared and ready to go. He did some things last year that changed up his upper body routine, his upper body the way he trained his upper body, the way he warmed up his upper body, and the way he cooled it down. It made an impact. It was noticeable. I think that he finished last year stronger than he did at any point in time in 14. And that was encouraging. And I'm sure he's out there right now working to get better.
Did you give him anything specific this offseason in that regard?
Before he left, he and I had a conversation about some different things that we liked that we didn't like, and you know what we could make better. And Eli's a pro. He's no spring chicken, so he knows what he needs to do to get ready. The only thing I ask him not to do is don't mess with that throwing motion, because his throwing motion is pretty flawless. But anything else, anything he can do to get better and get stronger and stay healthy, we're all for it and we'll support it.
More physical stuff that you sort of recommend to him at this point, or still talking footwork?
Yeah, physical maintenance. Yeah, the footwork stuff we'll take care of when he gets back, and he'll start to train there at some point. Pretty light on the throwing right now.
You attribute his durability to that. I'm struggling to remember when he was injured, you know?
Yeah, let's knock on wood on that one there. He is a durable guy. He's a tough guy. He doesn't get a lot of credit for that, and that factors in there as well because he plays through a lot. And, we need to do a good job of keeping him upright. To be able to push the ball down the field a little bit more, it takes a little longer to do that. So we would like to do that. So we need to keep him upright when we are throwing the ball down the field, because we have some guys that can make plays down the field for us. But again, it goes in. He's in the office every day in the season. He's in there every day. He's like a coach on Tuesdays in the past, and I assume that he'll be that way on Monday this year. And the way he prepares, the way he takes care of his body, and he's a tough, gritty guy that he probably doesn't get enough credit for.
Have you given much thought to what you're gonna say to the team the first meeting? Your sort of inaugural address, I guess.
Yes.
Do you
no previews to that. We can talk about that after the fact. They're gonna hear it from me first.
Have you been thinking about it since January, or have you been thinking about it since 2006, 2007?
Yes. Yeah, for a long time. For a long time.
Does it, this UFLPA, they negotiated so much time off in the offseason, does that frustrate you as a new coach to not be able to take the team?
I think we need to take a look at phase two for sure. You'd like to get, in phase one, you like to get a little longer phase one to get guys just with the strength coach and the strength staff and the conditioning. And kind of build a great foundation with them. Phase two, it'd be nice to be able to get guys across from each other, so they could work fundamentals a little bit more, maybe less team stuff and more fundamentals. That'll necessarily have a problem with the 9 weeks. You'd just like to see a little more time as far as with the strength and conditioning staff. Leave the football out of it a little bit more, because guys would like to come in and train together, a lot of them. I don't know that you make that part of it mandatory, but guys would like an opportunity to train together and just hearing feedback from players. And I think that bringing quarterbacks and specialists in early, I think giving them a little bit more time to study and to prepare mentally would do some good as well. Because this is a quarterback-driven league. And to give them 9 weeks in the offseason, I think, is a disservice to the game.
Talking about specialists there, what do you stand down with your kicker? Your kicker on the contract right now?
Again, we're looking at all our options. And, being an offensive coach the last couple years, Josh has been great. He's been money. And he's been accurate. And, we definitely value that part of his game.
Bringing him back still a possibility?
Again, at this point, you look at everything that's available, and you make your decisions from there. It's not a one guy thing. Here's what's out there, here's what's available, and you take a look at everything and you weigh your options.
I know there were no charges filed. A couple of weeks ago, Jay Bromley got in a little trouble. That was sort of the first messy situations that landed on your desk as the head coach. How did you handle that? What was how did you go through that?
Yeah, there's a protocol that we go through, and I'm going to keep that in house. And players, everything is available quickly right now, and in the public eye, you know, you're guilty until proven innocent. And the situations that that players put themselves in is, you know, there's no margin for error there. You have to be very smart about the position you put yourself in. And again, you, in the public eye, you're guilty until proven innocent, and that's life in the big city.
Is there going to be any? Is the team going to have any discipline for him, or are you?
Like I said, we have a protocol that we go through, and we'll keep that in house.
Hey,
how you doing, John?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Ben, have you spent any time this week diving into the replay debate? And John Mayer is on the committee, but are you in the camp that you believe more plays to be reviewable the better?
You know, I look forward to hearing more about it this morning. That's what we're going to run over here in a little bit. I think that the most important thing is I think everyone's on the same page as far as we all want the same thing. We all want to get it right,
yeah.
Especially at the end of games. It's just finding the way that makes the most sense to get that done. And probably not extend the game any longer than they are to try to fit those games in the window. But, you know, I think it's like a lot of things with technology that it's important that we don't outsmart our common sense. But I look forward to hearing more about it.
Is it logical to assume that the more plays that are reviewable takes more of the pressure off the coach's decision-making on when to challenge, when not to challenge? Makes your job easier?
I think it depends on, you know, there are a couple factors, you know, how many challenges you have. You know, if you have to get them both right to get a third, if you only need to get one right to get a third out of two, I think they all weigh. I think all the factors weigh in there as well. It's not, you know, it's not just what to challenge and what not to challenge. It's how many you have and how many you have to get right to get a third. But, you know, there was only one time last year where a third challenge was used. But that does factor in the thought process as well. Sometimes you hold one in your back pocket because you don't necessarily want to pull it early in the game. You want to save it to the fourth quarter when it's necessary.
One time league-wide?
Say that again?
There's only one time league-wide where a third was used?
I believe so, yes.
What do you think of the whole process the first time you're kind of sitting in there? Getting a look at it.
Well, a lot of the information was, you know, one thing about being a head coach in this league, when you get the job, there are a lot of emails that come in, and they come in fast. But I got a lot of information early on. A lot of it, the league does a great job of getting that information to you early. So I've heard a lot of it. I've seen a lot of it. I read a lot of it. It's just a way to hear a voice and really kick around some ideas and open things up. And, you know, I'm digesting the information. But it's good to get it early so when you come down here you're ready for it and have an opinion on it one way or the other.
You're a 38-year-old head coach, young guy, kind of first time in this spot. Has anything surprised you? People say you don't really know what you're in for until you're actually doing it. Mm-hmm. You reach that point with some of the other things that you have to do maybe that you didn't do before?
No. I would say, you know, I've been fortunate, you know, being around Mike McCarthy and Tom Coughlin, two coaches that had been good mentors that helped me get me ready for this opportunity, and as well as Bob Lamont, you know, my agent. He's someone who has helped me along the way start to get ready for this process a while ago. You know, every day is a new day, and you're probably more of a fireman than you are a coach at times, but that comes with the territory.
You spent a lot of money in free agency on defense. Didn't devote the same amount of financial resources on the offensive side. Did you feel like the personnel on offense always was good enough for you to be able to win it?
We targeted guys on both offense and on defense. It just so happened to work out that we made the splash on the defensive side of the ball. It didn't work out on the offensive side, but we're happy with our targets, with who we got.
What benefit would there be for coaches to have the video on the tablets on the sideline?
I think it speeds up the process, really. When we went through it from a preseason perspective, it takes a lot of the questioning and answering out of things. You know, you're not trying to put a puzzle together in between each series and each play. You get a chance to kind of buzz through it and do it more and really do it quickly. So it takes the removes the gray area out of it, and I think it sets up for a good fourth quarter. I think it'll make the end of games better.
Ben, what do you think of the idea of touchback?
Touchbacks at the 25, I think it's probably good for safety reasons, because the kickoff is a play that, you know, even taking the wedge out of things, there are some big collisions right there. But I think it would encourage returners to stay in the end zone maybe a little bit more. You know, I like the kickoff as a part of the game, but you know, with that being said, we do have to take the injury part of things into consideration. And maybe I like it a little bit more because we have Dwayne Harris, and he's an exciting player back there for us. And Shane Vereen does a nice job as well, and we've been pretty good in the return game.
How much of an advantage is there from the 25 to the 20 as far as percentages and maybe scoring?
Yeah, I think your percentages go up, you know, once you cross the 20, obviously. To what degree, I don't have those numbers available. But the average, I think, the average yard line where you start is, I believe, the 23-yard line on all returns. So a touchback would put you out to the 25. I'm not sure that part of it makes a ton of sense. But it's for safety reasons, and player safety is a big part of the rule and the proposal. And you know, that's something that we do need to consider moving forward.
Do you think it would have a strategic impact in terms of the way you kick off and cover kickoffs?
I think it would make the end of games interesting. If you would score, if it's a two-score game and you score on the kickoff, you know, do you use a mortar kick? What type of kick do you use to give you a chance to get the ball back? I think it would make an impact. I think it would.
Maybe that instead of onside, right? That becomes a bit better option.
Well, it depends. I think a lot of it depends on who the return team has on the field. You have to take a look at ball skills and how they factor, and also the type of what your kicker does best.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you going to call plays?
Am I going to call plays? There's a possibility.
Do you like calling plays?
I love calling plays.
Do you have any, what would be your concern in terms of head coach responsibilities and in-game play calling? Is that something you've thought about in terms of?
I think as an offensive play caller that you're part of game management, you know, right from jump street, it's a natural part of things. I think, you know, when defensive coaches get an opportunity to be a head coach, it's a little different. I think they may have to spend a little more time preparing themselves for the game management part of things, but being in the same room with the quarterback for years, I think that part of it comes naturally. As far as who's going to call plays for us this year, that hasn't been determined. And you'll know the first Sunday of the season.
Whose decision is it?
My decision.
Your decision?
Yes.
Why hasn't it been determined? Or are you just not willing to disclose what you decided?
I'm not willing to disclose. It's a competitive advantage or disadvantage.
Coaching in Green Bay, every single thing the Packers do is scrutinized. Large media prepare you for, you know, dealing with us, you know, and all the scrutiny that comes.
Well, when I first got to Green Bay, I was coaching tight ends. I was, I think, 27 to 28, and we had to speak to the media twice a week. And at the time, I didn't know what I didn't know. But what it did was it prepared me for this opportunity, and we had to speak to the media right after the game. on Monday and then on Thursdays. But what it did was prepare me for this opportunity, and I'm very thankful for it now.
Will your assistant speak twice a week?
You're going to have an opportunity to speak to assistant coaches throughout the season, yes. Not more, twice a week.
No. More than in the past?
More than in the past.
Why do you think that's important to you? For their growth?
Yeah, absolutely. I think access for assistant coaches is important. I think that it gives them an opportunity to grow. It gives them an opportunity to echo your message, and gives an opportunity for the fans to get access to our team and to our program that they wouldn't otherwise have.
Helps them eventually become head coaches too, right?
Say that again?
Helps them eventually become head coaches too, right? I mean,
absolutely. Yeah. When you win, good things take care of themselves. And you know, the more I can do to give back to the game, and you can't ever pay anybody back for what they've done for you, but you can always pay it forward.
How about after games? I don't want to put you in a position of being critical of how it was done in the past, but I mean, do you agree with the idea that we might be able to talk to a coordinator on a strategic matter after a game? Or is that something you'd rather keep?
No, that needs to come from me. That needs to come from me, and then I think the Thursday, the coordinators are in a very tight schedule, and they need to be able to move on as quickly as possible to get on to the next opponent. Not prepare for the media, but you'll still get an opportunity to talk to the coordinators each week.
Have you started logistic work for London yet?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The week I got the job, right? No, the week I got the job. Yeah, we're still finalizing some things. Look forward to the trip. Should be a great experience for the organization, for the players, and it'll be great for our game.
You can bring your own toilet paper like the Jets did.
What's that?
You can bring your own toilet paper like the Jets did.
No comment.
I apologize if you already answered this, but those first couple days of free agency, you know the front office handled it. Where were you physically? Where were you getting the news? And how involved were you? I guess we're hearing you were bringing in these guys.
No, it was 24/7 there. It was a great experience. You know, we handled it. A lot of it happened, you know, in the office or, you know, maybe at home shooting some text and things like that. But, you know, we set our targets early on. We happened to nail four of them on the defensive side of the ball there the first day. So that part was exciting. And, you know, you have to give Jerry credit. You know, he set the vision for everything. And Kevin Abrams did a great job with the contracts and ownership. Obviously, the Mara family and the Tisch family, they made quite a commitment to the locker room that day. And, you know, the coaches for evaluating the tape and to have the lines of communication open. And you have to recruit these guys and let them know how they're going to fit into your plans. And very fortunate and very blessed that it went the way it went.
A guy like Vernon, where there are three teams actively interested at that price, get on the phone and kind of say, hey, buddy, we need you here, or it's not, you know, getting close?
Yeah, we had just about everybody get on the phone and just let him know how he fit in, what we think of the type of player he is and the type of young man he is. And he has a strong head on his shoulders, and look forward to the impact he's going to make for the New York Giants.
Still expect to be active going forward, yeah, free agency?
Do I? Absolutely. Absolutely. Got a long way to go in this thing. We're just getting started.
How hard was it? You had to cut a few players. That's like a head coach's job now, front office. How hard was that for you? That Tom always said, you know, it's kind of a cliche, that's the hardest part of the job.
Yes, but, you know, guys who you have a relationship with, you worked hard with, and, you know, the toughest part about this league is it's different than maybe high school and college, as far as everything usually ends on a positive note in high school and college. And, you know, you try to keep things as positive as you can, but the business side of things is the tough part of this business.
Yeah, you might have already answered this. I can't believe it.
Coughlin's what were you doing, sleeping?
Nonsense. First couple days after the transition, Coughlin is still kind of around. Have you guys still spoken the last couple weeks? Is there still contact with Coach Coughlin?
Yeah, Tom is still around. And, you know, we've been kind of in and out of the office. It's been, you know, we had Indiana, we had the combine in Indy. We're down here for the meetings. We have a lot of things going on in and out of the office. But, yeah, Tom has been around. And, you know, I'm going to continue to use Tom as a resource as long as I can. Like I said, we take the receiver position from a free agency perspective. We're going to look at it as a whole, and you know, we're continuing to work our way through it. One way or another, I don't think it's smart to comment on things that or on players that you may or may not have interest in bringing in a free agency or aren't currently signed.
What'd you like about the French guy?
He is a, you know what? He's a big, good-looking player who took direction well, and I look forward to seeing him out there against our guys in OTAs and in training camp.
Do you need? How about tight end? Yeah, that's a position we haven't spoken about. We kind of had some young and experienced players there. Obviously, Daniel is coming back. Do you feel like you need a veteran there, or?
Yeah, we're looking at all our options at this point. Again, like I said before, free agency is still, you know, a part of things, and the draft is still a part of things. There are some options there, but we're going to continue to do our homework.
Has Larry been cleared yet, you know?
Larry, officially, not that I recall.
Which young players maybe do you expect to sort of play a bigger role this year and step up? Think can do more than maybe they did last year?
What position group?
Which one stand out to you, maybe, in general?
You know, I think that guys going from their first year to their second year can make a jump, but I think also players going from their second to their third year, like Andre Williams, is a guy that can make a jump for us. And I'm excited to get him back. I know he's chomping at the bit. Jeremy Davis is a guy on the offensive side of the ball that I know it's important to him. He works his tail off, and I'm sure he's out there right now working his tail off to get better and can help us and can make a jump on special teams as well. On the defensive side of the ball, Jay Bromley's a guy that can make a jump for us. And again, we need to get some of our young safeties back and healthy. I think they all have an opportunity. They all have an opportunity to be good players.
What was it about guys like Davis and Bobby Hart that you didn't think were sort of ready, even at the end of last year, like week 17, I think Jeremy was inactive. Didn't start Bobby in week 17, despite a couple injuries. I think you moved some guys around. What was it about them that they weren't quite ready yet?
I think they're guys that we have high hopes for. And, Bobby's a guy who's developing. He loves playing football. He's done a lot to get his body ready and improved his body throughout the course of last season, put a lot of work into it. And we've seen encouraging signs from both Bobby and Jeremy.
How would you assess the division?
Say it again.
How would you assess the division?
I think division is getting better. I think it's getting better, and I think it's getting more competitive. You see the turnaround that Washington made last year. They're going to be a formidable opponent. Obviously, Dallas, when they get their quarterback back, is a pretty darn good football team and has a good roster. And Philadelphia is someone that's a team right there that we've struggled with and we need to play better against.
Is that just a matchup situation? You know, sometimes some teams have advantage over another, I think.
There are a variety of factors. We, when you looked at the two games in the last couple of years on the road at the Link, we didn't play very well from an offensive perspective. We didn't take care of the ball as well as we needed to take care of the ball. And that was a big part of last year's game down there. But we need to play better there on the road. Take care of the ball. It starts with taking care of the Duke. Say it again. What clicked? I think that just another year of the footwork and the training there. I look forward to, you know, Eli, I still think his best football is in front of him. I still think he's going to take another jump. He really bought into the system and likes the controls that he has there. The fundamental part of things was probably the toughest thing for him to get used to, but he's bought into the footwork and the training and having another year under his belt with the reads is going to clean things up for him. He knows what he likes now, and it's natural for him. And he's not thinking as much as he was the first year. And even towards the early part of last year, it comes a little more natural for him.
When did you see a point when it became natural for him?
I would probably say, I'd say actually the first game last year versus Dallas, I think that with the speed he was playing with and his footwork and his ability to deal the ball and go through the reads, that's when I really noticed it, was play speed.
This team had some end of game management, you know, clock management issues last year. Innovative like that?
Yeah, we're going to have a game management team, so to speak, and we're going to meet as we iron it out. It'll either be on Saturday mornings or Friday afternoons, depending on the schedule, and make sure we're on the same page going into the game and we're seeing the same things as the game develops.
Who's going to be part of that team?
There will be a game management team.
How many do you envision on that?
About six.
And this is from your coaching staff or?
From the Giants organization.
I mean, I may get on it. Yeah.
What's that?
Can I get on it?
I don't know, you play your cards right.
I'm good at math.
I'm guessing that did not exist the last 2 years that you were with the Giants, right?
We're gonna organize things a little bit different. Not as formal. Yes.
Is there something like that in Green Bay?
There's something similar to that in Green Bay.
I mean, in general, as a head coach, how much of a concern is that, the idea of game management, clock management as something that comes on you quickly? I mean, this seems like an effort to prepare to make sure that when it comes on you quickly, you can react. Is that a huge concern of yours? Is this something I can control?
It starts with communication first. So we need to have open lines of communication. We need to be on the same page, especially at the end of games, at the end of that. You want to end each half with the ball. All right? You want to end each half with the ball, 2 minute and then the end of the first half, and either 2 minute or 4 minute at the end of the game. And the more we can be on the same page, have open lines of communication, and have guys being willing to speak up at the end of games to ensure that gets done is important.
Do you expect your quarterback to be part of that game management team?
We'll have a game management team with the New York Giants.
Classified.
Did you go back and study that opener in particular? What did you think when you went back and looked at that game? Specifically, I'm talking about the end game stuff.
Yeah, the end game. It's disappointing how the end of the game was managed. We're better than that. I do not disagree with the last call, the third down call. I stand by that call. We're going to be aggressive, and we're going to put the ball in our quarterback's hand to win the game. Always have believed that. Always will believe that.
You do have a problem with them throwing it out of bounds, though, at that point.
I failed was to... like the end of the New England game where he slid. When number two didn't go to the back pylon, he slid. The clock kept, you know, the clock kept moving, and you can force the team to use a timeout there, which, you know, at the end of the Dallas game, I failed to remind Eli to slide there. And that was on me. That's still on me.
When you look back at the season, there was obviously a couple games where you guys could close it out. That one, though, maybe stick out more than the other, maybe several others, just with the way that went down?
I think that, you know, everything you do in this league is important, so you need to make sure you look at the way each and every game ends. And you have to study each and every game. Yeah. be prepared for it.